And he, that's Jesus, told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, those whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.
Thanks very much for reading, Tom. And welcome again, everyone, to this lunchtime meeting. It's great to see so many of you here today as we close our Knowing God summer series. And speaking of the summer, I'm not sure what yours was like, but I have to say that mine was nothing short of an absolute roller coaster. I expected a quiet and stable one, but it turned out to be the complete opposite when a couple of months ago, I found out that four partners in my team at my law firm decided to move on to a competitor. And these weren't just any partners. These were the guys who I mostly work for and who said they would always back me and promote me. And you know what? That morning, I was just sat in my office thinking, what next? What's going to happen to my life? I know it's a bit dramatic, but I honestly just felt so unsettled. And what followed were a bunch of meetings with recruiters, the partners who left, partners at my firm, and partners at other firms. I was trying to get the full picture of what my options were. Do I stay or do I go? I was trying to make the right decision. And the topic that came up in literally all my conversations was a city favorite, money. Where can I make the most? Where will I make it the quickest? And where will I make it the longest? Every single pitch trying to sell me a move revolved around money. I mean, was I supposed to be surprised? No, that's the city mentality. But seeing how everyone else around me was just so focused on wealth and money, I just asked myself, is that really what life is all about? And that's why for today I chose to look at the parable of the rich fool in Luke. So if you've closed your Luke booklets or Bibles, please reopen them in Luke 12, 16 to 21. So Luke was an ordinary person, a doctor actually, and he followed Jesus around and wrote an eyewitness account of Jesus's life. That's Luke's gospel. And in our passage, Jesus is surrounded by a huge crowd when he tells this parable. I mean, verse 1 says that there were thousands of people around him trampling one another. So imagine a huge crowd. And often this passage is actually taught as one, together with verses 13 to 15. But today I want us to focus on the parable in verse 16 onwards. In verse 15, Jesus tells the crowds that life is not about possessions. And what follows is our parable. So let me reread the passage for us. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So here we have Jesus talking about a hugely successful farmer. He had produced so many crops that his biggest worry was to decide where he could possibly store them. I mean, he had run out of space. In today's world, he's like the MD at Goldman Sachs, who spends his summers on a yacht in Saint-Tropez. He's like the savvy investor who thought ahead and bought Bitcoin 20 years ago. He's like the law firm partner who can take off every other day of the week to play golf. In the eyes of the world, he had well and truly made it. He got it all right. And look at what he does with his barns, verses 17 and 18. He takes counsel with himself and decides to tear down the existing barns and build bigger ones so that he can store the surplus. I mean, his solution seems completely natural and normal, doesn't it? In fact, it seems very wise. He'll retire early, which is what he always wanted to do. He worked hard, and he was ready to enjoy the fruits of his labor. He was ready to relax, eat, drink, and be merry. He can forget the hassle of daily commuting and getting up at 6 a.m. He can really enjoy early retirement. His future just seems so secure. And he puts up his feet and he does what all of us want to do, relaxing, eating, and drinking. But if we look down at verse 20, God actually calls him a fool. God tells him he got it all wrong. And this is really meant to shake us and make us think, hold on, why would God be saying that? It's a bit unsettling, isn't it? In fact, it's absolutely devastating to hear. We look at this man and we all want to be like him. We look up to him. He just seems so wise and successful. And yet, God calls him a fool. And I think Jesus tells this parable because he wants us to learn from two mistakes that this man made. The first mistake is that this man thought he had everything. And if you're following the handout, that's our first point today. The man who thought he had everything. So the farmer's biggest problem was to come up with a way to store all the crops he had. He really thought he had everything. And it seemed that way, didn't it? He was completely unaffected by higher inflation, the war in Ukraine, and rising interest rates and living costs. These things didn't affect his life or business. He looked like he was in complete control over his future. He thought he had everything, but God actually calls him a fool. Verse 20 says, "And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Well, we're not told if this man has a family or a will or if someone was going to inherit all his possessions. But that's not what Jesus is getting at. What Jesus is saying is, the possessions you've accumulated, whose will they be? Well, not his. That's the point. And it's true for all of us. So what was a farmer storing all these crops for? Well, verse 20 tells us that he died that very same night. He had made all sorts of preparations throughout his life, but he ended up running out of time. He thought he had everything, but a sudden heart attack left him with nothing. Foolish. A few weeks ago, I had lunch with a couple of partners from another firm to speak about my work situation. And at one point, when they were telling me how successful I could be if I joined their team, I just paused them and said, "You know what? There is something you need to know about me. I'm extremely ambitious. I want to do well. But at the end of the day, I don't live for this." I paused and said, "Work is not my priority in life." And sadly, it didn't turn into a gospel conversation, which is kind of what I was hoping for. But they were certainly shocked to hear what I said. I mean, I was speaking to people who quite literally live for their careers and success. But what a fragile way of life that is. You'd be foolish to think that's everything you need. And frankly, when I first started in the city as a trainee solicitor back in 2015, my mindset was completely different. Sure, I was a Christian then, but my priority in life definitely wasn't my relationship with God. I worried way too much about where the corporate grind would take me. I was building bigger barns as I went along. But Jesus calls us to think long and hard about what life is really all about. And that's what this parable, and in fact, our Tuesday lunchtime meetings are all about. As we gather around Jesus and listen to his words, we're meant to see that we really have nothing without him. And that's the second mistake this man made. The man who forgot he had nothing. He thought he had everything, and he forgot he actually had nothing. And God says to him, "You fool." Look down with me at verses 20 and 21. "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" So this man was laying up treasure for himself, but he wasn't rich towards God. He simply wasn't rich enough. He wasn't rich where it mattered. He thought he was self-sufficient, but he was actually just selfish. And verse 19 says that he just wanted to relax, eat, drink, and be merry. He was laying up treasure for himself. That's what he was living for. And he lived as if God didn't exist. He lived as if God wasn't there. And in truth, his lifestyle just didn't reflect the reality he was living in. Who put the land and the crops there? Who created the sun and the rain so that the crops could grow? Who gave the man the capacity to make smart business decisions? Who decides over life and death? It's all God. And that's why we should be rich towards him. He's the creator of all things. But this man was living in complete ignorance of God. He forgot that with God, he had nothing. Foolish. And as I was preparing this talk, I came across this brilliant phrase on the internet. It says, "Failure is being successful at the things that don't matter. Failure is being successful at the things that don't matter." And that sums up the farmer in our parable, doesn't it? He thought he had everything, but God calls him a fool. He actually had nothing because he wasn't rich towards God. And even though that's devastating to hear, it's also a wonderful truth, isn't it? We can be truly rich. In fact, God wants you to be rich. He gave us life to live to the full. He wants our lives to be full now, and he wants our lives to be full in eternity. He wants us to be rich when we get to eternity. God wants us to be rich where it really matters. And being rich towards God doesn't mean that you need to give away all your money. Jesus isn't saying sell all your possessions. He's rather questioning our attitude to money. And it doesn't mean that you need to stop providing for your family or your retirement. That's a good thing. But being rich towards God means acknowledging him as the creator of everything, trusting in Jesus as the one who died for our sins, growing in our faith, sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his words, opening his words like we're doing right now. Jesus is telling this parable to say that richness towards God and not ourselves should be the controlling desire in our lives. So let me ask you, how rich are you? Is living for God the controlling desire in your life? And you might be sitting here today thinking that you have everything, that your future is secure. But Jesus is saying, if you're not rich towards God, you really have nothing. And as Christians, be warned working in the city, full of money and greed. Be warned not to admire and even idolize those who in the eyes of the world are successful. Do you view overachievers the same way God views this farmer? Admired and idolized by all men, but called a fool by God. I think if we truly did, we'd be doing everything we can to bring along our colleagues to these lunchtime talks so that they can hear the richness of God's words. Because if you're not rich towards God, you really are poor. You really have nothing. And as I was making my career decisions over the last couple of months, this passage was a massive help for me. As I was praying and discussing options with my wife, my family, and close friends, I was just utterly convicted that going for the biggest check was just foolish. And I stopped and thought about what I currently have at my firm, a small but keen and committed Christian group, people I truly enjoy working with, partners who will step in and take over my work if I need to go to a midweek Bible study group. And that's the point of this parable. It says, Christian people, we already have something far richer and precious than anything the city can offer. We have Jesus Christ. With Jesus, we have everything. Without him, we have nothing. Let me pray for us to close, and then we'll have some time in our tables to just discuss some of the suggested questions we've put in the handout. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you that it's just so clear on what true richness looks like. So Father, as we go back to our offices, as we continue progressing in our careers, Father, help us to really remember these truths and words. Father, if we're ever tempted to pursue other richness or the richness this world has to offer, Father, we pray that we'll hold on to these truths and not give in. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.